When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the COP update for Tuesday, the 11th of January, on the LFC Day Trippers. A bit to get through today. If you have anything that you've seen in the news or the media or online, social media, whatever it is, throw it in the chat and we'll absolutely try to have a talk about it in the next 20 to 30 minutes, if that's okay. If you're in here and you're watching, fair play to you, hit the like button. If you haven't subscribed already, do so. We're putting out loads and loads of good content nearly every day of the week at this stage. And if you have a share button there, hit the share button and share it across your social media. Garrett McDonald says Goldbridge already has a video up saying Salah to leave Liverpool. Okay, Mark, whatever. But let's talk about the false positives. Let's start with the false positives. So Jurgen Klopp made a comment at the weekend after the Shrewsbury game where he said, look, we've had a tough week. You know, we had to close the training centre down. Everybody had to leave. We had to do so many tests. We had so many X amount of positives. Then a load came back that they were false positives. And, you know, he said it was a tough week. Talk none of it. Went about his business. And the uproar over this is absolutely unbelievable. Ghost of Sparta says, Gavo, tried your spice burger omelette. Game changer. It really is, Ghost. It really is, man. I'm delighted. I have six spice burgers in the fridge here, but it's Heartburn Central. Yeah, just go easy on them. They are deadly, but go easy on them. Gary McDonald says the quiz last night was great. The boys will take some beating. Yeah, they were on top form, weren't they? They done really well to get 75% plus of the answers right was really, really, really good. Megan McCallion is in. Red Steve is in. Bejan is in. There's loads of people in. So if you're in and you're watching, as I said, smash the like button as you go. But anyway, the false positives, Jurgen Klopp makes that comment after the Shrewsbury game. And the outcry over it is unbelievable. And I just can't get over how Liverpool have been lashed out with this for being so transparent. Clubs beforehand have closed training grounds, said nothing, said they can't play. That's it. Nobody said anything. Like the other day, Leicester come out and said they've 17 players missing. And when you list 16 of them, they're all injured. They haven't said who have COVID. You know, and it seems that just passes. And now it's Liverpool and it's like, oh, they should forfeit the game. They should forfeit this. They should forfeit that. Just a little thing. This came from Simon Hughes' article to say they might be investigating. Now, the EFL have said that there won't be an investigation because they were working alongside the EFL and Arsenal. And I presume the Premier League might have had a say or had a word about it. The FA would have had a word about it. And medical experts would have had a word about it. Liverpool were going about the protocol, got these positives, and went to the EFL or whoever they needed to go to, went through the process over the space of 24 to 48 hours, got told what to do and done it. And then Klopp comes back and went, there's a load of false positives. Like, nobody's turning around going, who's testing this? Who is doing this and making these false positives come back? Let's look at the protocols and the way things are done rather than just going Klopp, Liverpool, blah, 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 blah. As I said before, you can always question it and you can always say, what's going on there? But then when you get to what's happened, surely people turn around and go, oh, well, look, that's what's happened. Liverpool aren't doing the tests. Liverpool aren't producing the tests. Noel Mullen says, hello all, first time to be able to join the chat. I've been listening to the Day Tripper since the first show. Good man, Noel. And you're very, very welcome. Chris Brack is enjoying the fume. Independent lab confirmed the first set of positive cases. So just to let you know, this came from Simon Hughes' article where he said there may be an investigation. And when you looked into it a bit deeper, basically this is what it said. The first The fourth round, involving the use of lateral flow device, LFD tests, highlighted a number of positive cases. The second round, involving a use of polymerase chain reaction, PCR, tests carried out by an independent laboratory also highlighted a number of positive cases. But a third round of tests indicated that the players in question were in fact negative. Liverpool did not comment when asked to confirm this and to explain when the results of the third set were revealed. Well, I'm presuming the third set were revealed probably late last week, but all of a sudden you have people saying Liverpool have done this on purpose, Klopp has got his mini break, Klopp has got this, Klopp has got that, and you know, he's basically tried to avoid Arsenal in a League Cup semi-final. That's all he's done. It's the only game he's missed. He's had to put out a team at the weekend. Stu Max says, can Gav replace Chris Whitty? A lot better crack with medical messaging. I don't know who Chris Whitty is, so I don't really know. Barry Devaney says, Simon News article was rubbish today. No investigation. No, there won't be any investigation. But this is what I'm trying to say. Like, by all means, question what's going on. But when you get the explanation, especially when it's such a transparent one, you have to take it as that's what it is. And I don't understand how, like, put it this way. If a month ago Spurs came out and said, we're closing down the training ground, and here's the information. We got this, we got this, we got this. And this is what happened. This is the protocol that was followed. And it probably was the protocol that was followed with Spurs. It's done and dusted. There's actually less made of what happened with Spurs and Manchester United closing training grounds and having games called off with no information than Liverpool having one game called off, right? With loads of information. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. Garrett McDonald says, the EFL will not investigate Liverpool after the postponement of the game against Arsenal was put down to false COVID positives. Arsenal were also in these discussions. Remember that. Arsenal were part of it. Arsenal knew what was going on every step of the way and made the agreement to change the fourth leg around and stuff like that. Are these questioning Leicester this vigorously, said Alex? I don't know. All I've seen on the Leicester side is that Leicester against Everton, which was meant to go ahead at Goodison, I think, tonight, has been called off. And when you've seen the list of Leicester players, and they're being up front with who they're missing, that's no problem. They're being up front with who they're missing. But when you read them all, it's just a load of injuries. It's a shitload of injuries. But having said that, we're just going on the information that we're given. If it was a bit more transparent, it may work. But having said that, the more transparent you are, particularly in Liverpool's case, you get lashed out of it. Leicester played Watford with a decent squad. A day later, they call off the Everton game, saying COVID injuries, etc. The reason is being swept under the carpet again. Listen, what Leicester are doing, or what United, or what Spurs are doing, is what they're doing, right? We can only go on what the information we're given, okay? When it comes to Liverpool have been very, very, very transparent. From the start, who had COVID, who tested positive, who would miss games, you know, the training grounds being closed down because of A, B and C, okay? Klopp comes out at the weekend and says, it was closed down, it was a tough week, this happened, this happened, this happened, here's all the stages, and we all know who was involved in the discussions. And that's it, you know what I mean? We are Liverpool, Gav, that's where we get criticised for it. I just can't understand it. Like, and I don't want to see this happen, but if something happens to a Premier League team next week where they go through the same process as Liverpool, okay, the same process, the same clarity on everything, okay, the same transparency, the same amount of information, will that club be getting the treatment that Liverpool are getting at the moment? And people will say, oh, here they go again with their you know, their victim thing. And it's not that. It's simply, you have all the information in front of you. It's over. You know, I've seen Arsenal fans saying today, Liverpool should be a 3-0 win to Arsenal the first from last week. And this should be the second leg. We've seen this happen, we've seen that happen to teams. When? We haven't seen anything happen to teams over COVID. We haven't seen a thing happen to any team. No team has had points deducted. No teams have been, you know, the only thing you could say is some teams were made to play when they probably had an argument not to play. I'm thinking Leeds in particular. But when it was looked at, Leeds was a shitload of injuries. They had got some COVID, but it was a shitload of injuries. That was the problem, right? The COVID numbers from Liverpool have been out there from the very start. And I just can't understand how, you know, when it comes to Liverpool, why is this always the case? Well, like, why is it just like, now, don't get me wrong, it could be a lot of people, just a lot of Arsenal fans getting upset, like, because they seem desperate to play the weakest side they can find. Now, this is the same Arsenal fans that were telling you last week they'd beat Liverpool starting 11 anyway, you know, the sort of way. The pressure is absolutely heaped on them now, because if they don't get out of the semi-final into a final and win it, they will go through for this again for the season. And top four has to be their target, and they'll try to talk themselves into the fact that top four isn't their target, and they're in progression under Arteta. League owner speaks on this, and he speaks about how much he spent and how many players are actually his, so it's one of those. But listen, we won't go on too long about it. I've wasted 10 minutes on that when we shouldn't really, but I'm trying my best not to bite on this, and it might look like that's a fucking stupid thing to say because you've spent 10 minutes talking about it. But when it comes to social media and stuff, I'm not even answering people on it, because I'm like, look, I'm only entertaining something that's absolutely ridiculous. Trent is positive. Yeah, Trent is a positive case, and he's out, you know, and there's other players that are positive and they might be back, but they might not be. We don't know, because we don't know. Actually, the one thing we don't know is how many positives they had last week. How many of those came back still positive, or came back as, look, it's a false positive? You know what I mean? So it's one of those. So we leave it at that as well. Moving on to moving on to Mohamed Salah. We've seen some quotes, and this is going to come out during the African Nations. You're just going to have to deal with it. TJ says it's league owner type of fans complaining. He had massive complaints last week. I went on to a show with him, and by the end of it, we more or less agreed that, yeah, they're following the proper protocol. Mo Salah. Someone said there that Mark Albridge has a video up already saying Mo Salah to leave Liverpool. I'd love to know where he's getting that information. But what I would say is that these quotes, the timing of them aren't great. A bit like Lukaku last week, but you're going to get it showing the African Nations. It's as simple as that. The quote is, here's the quote, I'll read it out to you, okay? They know what I want. I'm not asking for crazy stuff. I've been here for 5 years now. I know the club very well. I love the fans. The fans love me. But with the administration, they have been told the situation. It's in their hands, okay? I would consider that a little bit worrying. I'm going to be honest. I would consider that a little bit worrying, because if that's a genuine quote, which I believe it is, because where I took the quote from, don't usually go with just let's throw this quote up and see what happens. They're not like that. I hate when I see stuff like this, because it's basically throwing balls into the opposition court. And when you're doing that, and you're doing this in public, it looks like you're angling and you're positioning yourself for an outcome that you feel might happen, i.e. a contract's not signed. Now, I've said it, Barry Devaney says Salah's quotes are nothing new, to be honest. Yeah, it does feel like a bit of a rehash. It does, they're slightly different. He said the same last month, says the Reclaimer. He did, 100%. It feels like a bit of a rehash. I will say that. But the timing of them isn't great. They're slightly different to the quotes, I think, that we read probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I'm starting to get a little bit worried. And I've said this going months back, that once you clear January and you're into 18 months, don't worry about the year left, because the year left, I think the decision will be made before then. But I think we're in a window now where Liverpool have 5 months to sort this out. And the longer we get into that 5 months, I think it's a little bit worrying. Kev says it's a quote from an interview done back in November, apparently. There are always quotes done in the past. It's the timing of them when they come out. And, you know, you won't see Liverpool make any comment on it. You probably won't see his representatives make any comment on it. They'd be quite happy for it to get out there. But regardless of when they were made and when they're out, we're still sitting on the 11th of January with no contract signed. That's it. You know, Liverpool, if they're not willing to pay Salah what he thinks he's worth, it's the hill FSG will die on, in my opinion. Arsenal for Life says Liverpool should be punished. Tell me what way they should be punished. You can tell me now why Liverpool should be punished. over this. I will absolutely have the conversation with you, Arsenal for life. But just coming back to Salah, yeah, you still have to look at a timeline. And if they're not willing to pay him what he thinks he's worth and what his representatives thinks he's worth and what a lot of people around the world thinks he's worth, he's the best player on the planet for me at the moment. The chances are they look to cash in on him come the summer. Now, I'm not saying they will. This is not me telling you they will. This is not me telling you I think they will. I'm just putting the situation out there, putting the scenarios out there. And for me, it's regardless of what's being said, not said, posturing, wherever it is, it's still the 11th of January and we're still haven't got a contract signed. Now, 5 months is a long time in football to get things right, but the closer it gets to that, the more you'll have other clubs bouncing off and going, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. You know, you've a year left. And look, if people think that other clubs don't talk to their representatives with 18 months left, with 2 years left, don't be fooling yourself. It's one of those. But look, we'll have to wait and see. But at the moment, Salah's not being signed. The contract's not done. And a lot of people think that January it will be announced as, you know, oh, here we go. This is our signing for January. And it may well be. It may well be. If Mo doesn't sign by the summer, would you cash in, Gav? Asks Shawnee. It's a difficult one. It really is a difficult one. I don't ever want to see him leave Liverpool. Not in the years he's in at the moment. Not in his prime. Not like this, no. But it's a business at the end of the day. And I'm sure there's people way more engrossed in that business than me that will make that decision, but it'd be madness, absolute madness. Like, the money you pay Salah over 4 years or 5 years will total probably £80 million. It'll cost you double that. It'll cost you double that to replace him and add wages on top and stuff like that. You know, like when you see Erling Haaland is walking around and it looks like a £250 million deal, and is he of the standard of Salah? He's very, very good, don't get me wrong, but is he of the standard of Salah? What player out there gives you what Salah gives you? And how much will it cost? That's how much. That's what kind of you have to ask yourself. Luis Diaz talk won't go away, just to let you know. It's been reported that he has told of his desire to play in England. That has come out over the last couple of days across a couple of Portuguese publications. And then it's been reported in England, I think, one of the red tops have reported that. But apparently he has said of his desire to play in England. Reports say Liverpool are prepared to pay up to £58 million from, but Porto and their manager have publicly said that they want to keep him. Now, I don't know. That's just like, they're not going to say they don't want to keep him. They're not going to change their bargaining position. I know I've read, and even in this chat, people have informed me that that, you know, he has a buyout clause and they have some financial difficulties. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But at the moment, his name won't go away. It's still in the news. This is the next step, usually. Oh, he wants to play in England. Then there's a figure put on it of what Liverpool are willing to pay. Then Porto will tell you that they want him to stay. Then you have in the background, you know, their financial difficulties, what their targets are for the season with regards to domestic. I think they're out of Europe, aren't they? Are they out of Europe, or they're probably going into the Europa? So it's always posturing. It's always different things come from different spaces. There is not anything solid on this, but it's just a name that won't go away, and we're getting more reports, and that's what I'm here to tell you, and that's what I'm here every day, just to come in and go, listen, that's what's being said, make it what you will, let me know what you think. Barry Devaney says the Koundé links are very odd. Yeah, that was from yesterday, and yeah, they are. Gareth McDonald asked, are Porto in a bit of a financial hole? It looks like they are. I haven't looked into it in a massive way. A couple of people away from this show and some people in this chat as well have told me that they're in a fairly serious financial situation at the moment. Ben from Rivalry Aside says, hello mate. Ben, how are you? That's the first time I've seen you in here. You're in having a look, and Ben got a beautiful Jordan Henderson framed jersey for his birthday, I think, and it arrived the other day. And check out his Twitter. I think it's on his Twitter, but it looks top drawer, absolutely top drawer, Ben. Nat Phillips, again, the talk comes out most days about Nat Phillips and him leaving Liverpool this January window. Again, nothing solid since we heard that Watford had bid £7 million. Nothing has come out since then. You know, there will be a couple of clubs looking. You might have to see a centre-half move in the Premier League before someone will bite on Nat Phillips. You know, even if Tarkowski was to say leave Burnley for Newcastle, or, you know, even if Lewis Dunk was prized away from Brighton, something along them lines, you might see something more solid on Nat Phillips. But Brighton or Watford at the moment look like the only club that have made a bid of £7 million. So we'll have to see what happens there. That's the starting bid, but I think Liverpool want close to double that, even if it's a full 15, or it's, you know, 10, 11, 12 or add-ons. I think that's where it's gone. But Liverpool have been linked with a Hamilton academical defender called Jamie Hamilton, 19 defender. They've been linked with bringing him in this window. Young player, young potential. It looks like he would be brought in to go into the 23s to earn some experience there, but keep an eye out for that name. Highly rated, apparently up in Scotland, has done really well with them. So just keep that name on your radar. We will have a look in that in the next couple of days, see if anything more comes over. That was something I just seen quickly today. I think it was Kev threw it at me earlier. So that one is that one there, Jamie Hamilton from Hamilton Academical, 19 defender. Keep an eye on that one. That was, as I said, it came in really late today and I just threw it on the list to throw that name out there. And we see how it goes. But Nat Phillips at the moment, nothing solid on that. And there's been nothing solid on an in or out. You know, I've seen Kevin Phillips, I think, might have been interviewed saying about Divock Origi, saying it's a no-brainer that Newcastle should go from, especially if they're being linked with the likes of Chris Wood. He's saying, look, apparently Liverpool are making him available for £7 million. I don't believe that. And then you couple that with the fact that other reports are saying Liverpool won't sell Origi unless something special comes along. You know, what Kevin Phillips is saying, look, he's used to playing in big stadiums, in front of great support, you know, in pressure games. He gets goals. He makes sense for Newcastle. The fee wouldn't be astronomical. The wages wouldn't be a problem. But again, I think Divock Origi is the key to most things in the movement in Liverpool this January, if there is to be any. I think if he leaves, Liverpool will have to do some business. And they may, you never know, something could be happening in the background. I don't know if it is. I really don't know if it is. But at the moment, there's calls from some parts of the media for Newcastle to look at Divock Origi. But again, there's nothing there at the moment. Mo Salah starts his AFCON campaign today, 4 o'clock, I think, in Group D versus Nigeria. Nigeria, I think we're going in. Were Nigeria going in as one of the favourites? But he starts that today in Group D, so the best of luck to Mo Salah. Of course, Sadio Mane, was it yesterday, gets the winner in the 97th minute, 7th minute of injury time, a winner for Senegal. A penalty after VAR, but again, the African Nations has been excellent. If you don't get a chance, or if you do get a chance to watch it, absolutely go and watch it. Kosa Clapper says FSG don't want to invest, they would rather cash in on them. I get that point of view, but it'd be like me selling my car for 10 grand and paying 20 grand to replace something that's the exact same. And then people telling you you're tight with money. You know, we don't know. If we go down the route of cashing in on Salah, right, how much are you getting with a year left on his deal? That's the truth. Because someone will genuinely come in and go, there's 50 million quid. They will genuinely come in and say, there's 50 million quid. Because they know, come January, he can sort himself out with a free transfer somewhere. And we get nothing. You know, that's why it's so important to get this out of the way by May or June. Will it happen by May or June? I don't know. Mark says we have outgrown our owners. It's pretty clear. Well, Mark, what came out in the media last summer when nothing really happened, bar Canate, was that 2022 was the year that Liverpool seen as the start of the rebirth, or the revamp of this Liverpool squad. It's 2022 now. Now, we're only 11 days in fairness, granted. But, you know, I genuinely think they will do something in January, but I think it will be based off, I think Divock Origi is huge in it. And I've no problem with that. Once it's an improvement, You know, I don't want to bring someone in just for the sake of it. But if you tell me you're getting, if you're telling me you're getting Divock Origi and you're getting money for him, but you're going to bring in a Luis Diaz or a Danjuma or a Rafinha, you're all over that. It has to be improvement. But as supporters, we want things yesterday, you know, the sort of way. But I do get people's frustrations. There's absolutely no doubt. You do get frustrations with regards to that. But, you know, if you sell one and bring one in and it improves you, there's no problem there. There's absolutely no problem. Ali says, Gav, it isn't about wages for Salah. It is investment in the squad he wants and ambition. FSG have to give him that contract or there will be riots, in my opinion. Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, I'm sure when there was lads signing contracts like Alisson and Fabinho, Van Dijk, or whoever signed contracts in the summer, they'll all be asked about Mo Salah's future. They most definitely will. So it's one of those where, you know, Salah will be asking those questions as well. Like, you know, Salah will be looking at the squad going, well, what's happening here? What are we going to do? He's definitely going to be asking the same questions that the other lads would have been asking in the summer. Arsenal for Life has come back. Fair play to you. Disgraceful club. Okay. Trying to duck out of our game. If it was the other way around, you'd be protesting and making banners. We didn't try to duck out of any game. We put the information forward in a very clear and concise manner. A transparent manner, and the EFL, Liverpool, and your football club came to the decision, right? So that's the first thing. A disgraceful club, if you want to tell me more, go ahead. But we didn't try to duck out of any game. If it was the other way around, you'd be protesting and making banners. We had a game called off against Leeds, and we didn't protest and make a single banner about it. We thought it was shit because we wanted to watch football on Boxing Day, but we knew it couldn't happen. So that's that. The whole country hates Liverpool. Fair play to them. We're not here to be liked. Usually when clubs are liked, it's because, they're nice, aren't they? And they do okay. Arsenal end up being liked, you know. But anything to keep you relevant, fair play to you. But at the end of the day, Liverpool ducked out a fuck all. And I'm sorry for coursing that 2:25 on a Tuesday. But they didn't duck out of anything. They gave information. They gave it clearly, concisely, and they followed everything that was they were meant to follow, and with the assistance, as I said, of the EFL, possibly the Premier League, the FA, and Arsenal Football Club, a decision was came to, agreed upon, and the game goes ahead on Thursday. What's the issue? But thanks for the comment, by the way. But I have a right to reply, and that is the reply. I think that's about it though for today. Very little on the transfer front. There's very little, small little snippets coming out. I hope you enjoyed the quiz last night because it was a cracker. Go and watch or listen to it. It's available across all your Spotify's, your Google Pods, your Apple Pods, wherever it might be you're listening on. So go and check that out. And as I said, hit the like button on your way out. Subscribe if you haven't already. And if you want to share this, absolutely share it. And yeah, that's about it for today's COP update. We will be back later on. Keith will be back with Kev and Chris. Maybe a fourth guest, we don't know, but they will be back tonight with a transfer agenda show. And before people jump down my throat and go, we're not doing anything, why are you doing this? You're wasting your time. It's a transfer show about the whole Premier League. What teams are looking at what players and what it could mean for other clubs and will a merry-go-round, all that sort of stuff, all the links out there, and the lads go and have a nice time about it at 10 o'clock tonight. I'll be back at 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon with some more chat. And yeah, hope you enjoyed it. Talk to you in a bit. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.